You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are. Thank you. So deal with us. Honor your saving grace in the person of Jesus Christ. And our God, we're going to thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Just taking, if I can, in the light of different things since the end of the year, the turn of the year. God, we share together that the believer needs to stand that God makes them a new creature in Christ, a new creation. Neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor free. He makes them have a unique relationship to the person of Jesus Christ in a most personal, intimate way. And thus, they become part of his wonderful person and body, the most special of all specialness, of all relationships, made possible because of the unbelieving Jew and Gentile and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, demonstrating now his grace and his mercy, showing the world, showing all that he is who he is. And before anything was ever created, the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. And God created it all, came and was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and rose again. And he's trying to make that, is making that very clear in a very special way in this day of grace. Now, having said that little bit, what does that in the a little bit, God help us to understand the awesomeness of this most special relationship? Galatians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let me just remind you of some basic things. So when you talk about God and think about God, think about him correctly and comfortably. Now, so here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a resurrection chapter, and in particular, it talks of the wonderful purpose of Christ's resurrection is to have him, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world, to make all of it come out properly. And therefore, verse 24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. So, what do we have so far? God is going to put down all rule, verse 24, and all authority and power. He's going to go and make and put down all the enemies of God. Verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Verse 27, reason, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, that's Christ, it is manifest, clear, public, plain, simple, that he is accepted. That is, God the Father is not under his feet, which did put all things under him. And as you read, and I'll just pick it up, you can see it if you can. Verse 27, all things under his feet. All things are put under him. it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. So there's nothing missing. That's what I want you to be mind. Nothing's missing in any way, shape, or form. Nothing's missing. Now, verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, everything in its proper order and place, everything as God intended it to be, allowing man's sin, allowing the devil's sin and man's humanity's sin, and put on, when he hath put, verse 28, all things under, when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son himself, God in his perfect, wonderful humanity, our Lord Jesus Christ will turn around and unto him that put, and I'll read that a little more carefully, shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So everything, the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, is to put everything in order in every way, in any way, every way, wherever it is out of order. And to do so, and when everything is in order, the last in the kingdom of the millennium, Christ reigns with a rule of iron, rod of iron, etc. And everything, then, it's the end of time as we know it. Now, and when God, the Lord's, when everything is in order, great white throne judgment, everything is in order, God is going to turn around in Christ. God the Son in the Lord Jesus Christ is going to turn around to God the Father and present and say everything as in the will of Almighty God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Everything is in order. All because of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, God himself making it all happen. In order that God in all, over all, is all, in all. It's all about God, the only creator, the only savior, being who he is, God. Hang on to that. It's all about that. And the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates that. And, might as well turn there, over if you would, to Colossians. And in Colossians, if I can, in chapter 3, God is going to add to what we just thought about. And our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 1, chapter 3, Colossians, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Sliding down to verse 10. And have put on, like clothes, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him, Christ, after the image of him that created him. So the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to be conformed to the image of his Son. We ought to be his body, as you know, all over the place. Now, verse 11. Where there is neither Greek, Gentile, nor Jew, circumcision, nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free. But Christ is all and in all. God, the person of Jesus Christ, is going to put everything in order, and the Lord Jesus Christ is perfectly in order himself, and he is all, he was shared together, all things, all things, all things. We are able to do all things, whatever you ask in my name, I can do, etc. And we looked at all of that because, not because we have some particular peculiar power, but because we're related to Christ, therefore, he's the head. The body is able to do everything the head can do. So therefore, here's the body, and the body's able to go and do something in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And in doing so, in a most wonderful way, it has, the body enjoys the fullness, Colossians chapter 2. I'll look at it while you're looking at it. Colossians 2 and verse 9. For in him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, his deity. Verse 10. And ye, believers, are complete. The word complete is the word full of verse 9. And you are complete in him, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. So the Lord Jesus Christ is all in all. He represents the all in all that God is doing. And there's nothing missing in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you also keep in mind, if you would, if you were a believer in the days, New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 2, etc., and you came to know the Lord as your Savior on the day of Pentecost, etc., you would be identified with the body of believers in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem. You wouldn't be in the church in Antioch. You wouldn't be in the church of Derbe or Lystra. We wouldn't be. No, Ephesus, no, Jerusalem. And when the Paul and them would go to Ephesus and you got saved, you would be, where would you go? You go where the believers are, local. We shared all of these things. So it's just plain New Testament, biblical, what it says. Not what we see and what we understand, it's what it says. Now, and so the believer in Ephesus is going to go, get saved. He's going to go and meet with the assembled body of believers in Ephesus. And that's the way, in Antioch, the same thing. That's the New Testament way. You get saved in your home, you go where the believers are. That's what you do. Now hang on to that. That's what you do. Something wonderful happened. You became a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you were placed in that. God took you from everything over here and gave you a wonderful transformation, a wonderful translation to be transplanted into the wonderful Son of God, to become a child of God in a most awesome way, a very, very special way, having a relationship to Jesus Christ that John the Baptist couldn't have. In the tribulation, you can't have it. In the millennium, you can't have it. It's only now. And the New Testament that we're looking at is all about what? It's all about your relationship to Jesus Christ and having life. Page after page after page. It isn't, now hang on, you gotta keep that all that in mind if you can, because that's the way it really is. Now, let's put that into practice, what we just tried to think about. In the light of it, all nations, as you know, are under nations. Genesis 6, the Noahic flood. Genesis 11, they built the Tower of Babel, tower and a city, religion and politics. The religion and politics had to be squashed, and they were scattered, Genesis 10, into all the nations. All the nations are represented by religion and politic. They aren't represented by God. All the nations are not represented by God. They are under God, but they're all doing their own thing. Babel and each one is doing their thing. So all that's the world system. And the world system has excluded God. So God isn't part of that system. It doesn't want to include God in any way, shape, or form. Now, having said that, and you and I, humans, born Adam and Eve, and out of Adam and Eve, we are the result. In an Adam's sin, we died. He died, is judged, and we are all born thus without God, and we need to be saved. What's the real issue in God's saving, wonderful way? That we are dead. That means we have no relationship to God, and we need to have a relationship to God. And we need to have that relationship to God, And that gives us what is called life. Would not perish, but have everlasting life. A unique relationship to God. That's what it's about. That's why you get saved. It isn't saved to go to heaven. You get saved so you can go from death to life and have a relationship to God, a living, wonderful relationship to God. Now you have a physical body, and you have a physical body, we all do, that we were born with, and we have that physical body that we can have an earthly existence. In other words, you couldn't have lunch if you didn't have your earthly body. You couldn't do it. The angels, good guys and bad guys, presence, they don't have lunch. They don't need lunch. But they don't. We're equipped bodily, physically, to be able to have an earthly existence and to be like, and in the process, since we are equipped like that, we are equipped like that, therefore, we understand that we are fitting into humanity, the world system. We're part of it. We grow up. What do you mean we grow up? Well, we grow up in the world. And over to Romans 1 for a minute, that will help us. You know these things, but just to remind you. And in Romans chapter 1, may I pick up, please, in thought. The world system doesn't want to include God. So when you're born physically, we've shared these, you know what, anywhere in the world at any time in history, chapter Romans 1, just going, wonderful, wonderful section to make sure you understand it. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest, made public, clear, plain, simple, in the heart, in them. Why? For God has showed it unto them. And we share together that every human being born is created by God, and they know God. By that I mean that they realize they're God. God. They realize God. Now what happens? We grow up, we get older, and we get caught up in the system. The system has left God out. But there's no one born that doesn't know. At the starting point, in the middle of the Sahara Desert, in the middle of New York City, and no one. Now, and I just want you to remind, I'm reminding myself, verse 20, the invisible things, verse 20, of the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, why is that? When they knew God, and they did, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, in their thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened. And professing themselves to be wise and know it all, they became fools. And they changed the glory of God into of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping thing, idols, idolatry. Verse 24, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So it isn't a question. Everyone knows. But the world says, so we grow up, and we pick up the atmosphere, the culture, society that we're in. We know in the middle of the paganism, in its most vile form, we know a kangaroo, there's no sense in worshiping a kangaroo. They aren't God. Kangaroo isn't God. A big Buddha isn't God. We know that. People say we're worshiping the trees. Well, the little person knows a tree isn't God. They know that. And it's common sense. That can't be God. Nothing created can be God. God's an awesome creator, obviously. And we all know that. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so that we're conscious of God in a most awesome way, if we would choose to do so, And God wants us to know him in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so we grow up without God and we need to come to know the Lord as our Savior. When we come to know the Lord as our Savior, we receive him, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So God, you would do that. So I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I come to know the Lord as my Savior. And God, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we mentioned, we become a new creature in Christ in a most awesome way. And now that's true. Now, slide over to Galatians. And Galatians in chapter 2 for a moment. And in Galatians chapter 2, this relationship that we have to Christ is awesome. And God takes us from every other relationship and places us into a special relationship to him. Now hang on, verse 20. 2:20, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul, say it for us. What does being saved mean in its wonderment, in its very, very specialness to be saved right now. Verse 20. I am crucified, remember, think of Sunday school, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And thus the life which I now live in this flesh, in this body, I live in and by the faith of the Son, my faith, in faith, little by in preposition, in faith, where is objective genitive, genitive? Where's my faith? It's in God, in the Son of God. My faith is in the Son of God. The life I now have is in the Son of God. I'm living that life. Now, God, that's what it means to be a believer in the full sense of having a testimony. Christ is now your life. Hang on to that, if you would. And it's the most awesome thing. And you are, Christ is your life, and he is your life, and you enjoy your life in him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, therefore, when it comes to your body, your physical body, what about your physical body? Well, if you want to, just so you stay awake, over to 1 Corinthians and 15. 1 Corinthians 15. May I go to verse 47? The first man is of the earth, 15:47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Sliding along, verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. In the body that you're living in right now, you're living in that body, and that cannot, it is cursed. It is doomed to be put in the earth. Genesis 3:19, dust we came from, dust we are, to dust we go back. So the body that you're living in, and remember we shared that just a little bit ago together, that you're all alone in all your relationships in life, they're all separate. No matter what relationship you want to talk about, apart from food that you could eat, that you digest and comes part of your system, apart from food, there's no one that you relate to like that food. You're all separate, all alone, in the middle of a crowd. You're all alone, always alone, no matter how you cut the cookie, no matter how you do it. In the crowd, in marriage, having 25 children, it wouldn't make any difference. You're alone, always alone. Aha. Uh-huh. Now, the body that you're in belongs to God. And when you get saved, God claims that body, after all, He helped in creating it by humans, male and female, not the person, that's God's doing, soul and spirit. Now, so in the light of that, dear friends, in the light of that, what do we know? Your wonderful life in Christ has nothing to do with your earthly body. You live in it. You have to exist in it. You do everything because you have to. You're created with it. And 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, you're bought with a price. You glorify God in your body and spirit, which belongs to God, etc. And your life is hid with Christ in God. And you have a wonderful, wonderful life. The life you now have isn't in your body. It's in the soul, spirit, person inside here in your body. That's you. If you're saved, you have a unique relationship to God in Christ, and that is uncorruptible. That is immortal. But the body you live in is not. And it's flesh and blood. So when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, you were rescued from this body of flesh, and you were placed into a unique relationship to Jesus Christ, who is your life. And he is your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, forever. Wonderfully, wonderfully forever. So therefore, your body doesn't belong to anyone else except God. It's his. And as a believer, you went from born in Jerusalem or Ephesus or Antioch, and you're going to the local assembly of believers, which is what you do. And you don't go to Jerusalem. You go, if you're in Antioch, you don't go to Ephesus. If you're in Antioch, you go to Antioch. That's what you do. That's New Testament, because we aren't talking about denominations. We aren't talking about that. We're talking about biblical truth of having a unique relationship to God in the person of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again. Now, so therefore, physically, and we're born physically to have spiritual birth. That's what we're born for. So when we receive the Lord as our Savior, God makes us a new creature in Christ. And we understand that this body is going to go to the dust of the ground. And we understand that as a believer, but we aren't. So the body, you're going to have physical problems and amputee, all kinds of things. And so don't make a big deal about the body, because your life is hid with Christ in God. And God is going to use that body, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and all of that. God is going to use that body in a wonderful way to honor himself, to show his saving grace in his wonderful, by your wonderful relationship to who he is. And you're going to show that life in this body of death. Paul will say, oh, who shall deliver me from this wretched body of death? Romans 7:24. And then Galatians 2:20, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, looking to the Son of God, who gives me his wonderful life. So it has nothing to do with the body. That's the first thing. Get that out of the way. And the second thing, and so you're physically saved. And that God has given wonderfully the institutions of marriage and family and human government, etc. But, it's not. All of those things are true. But it's not about a person being married. It's not about having children. It's not about that. When you get saved, it's not about being married. It's not about having children. Those are wonderful things, but it's not about that. You're a new creature in Christ. And it isn't about marriage. And it isn't about children. It isn't about that. I got to get that clear. So I get, though marriage and all of that belongs to time. Children belong to time. In fact, we don't own any children. All human beings are God's. We can bring them forth into the world by human birth, etc. But, all, and parents are given the right delegated authority to raise the children. But you don't own anyone, and neither do I. All humans stand alone before God. Period. And they either know him or they don't. And when they come to know the Lord as their Savior, God God is wonderful. The Lord Jesus Christ shows his wonderful resurrected life in that body, in that relationship. So therefore, the person's going to go, and it isn't about that. So don't make a big deal about that. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, it isn't a big deal about your marriage. And it isn't a big deal, I've got to have 25 children. It isn't a big deal. It's a wonderful thing, but it's not what it's about. So don't make it about that, because what do you know? Think of, without turning there, Matthew chapter 10, 34, 35, 36. I did not come to send peace to your family, but what? I came to send a sword. I came to rescue you. Father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, I came to rescue you and save you from the system which we're part of, to save you. And you came to know the Lord as your Savior. And now you become a better wife, a better husband, a better daughter, a better son. You get saved and you have a whole new view of everything. That's correct. But it isn't about that. So I don't want to get hung up on that. People do get hung up on that. And therefore, they never enter into what it's about, a wonderful relationship to God that you're outworking in your body, which it isn't an issue, in your, whether you're married or not, whatever, widow, whatever it is, it isn't the issue. And all relationships are earthly. And a man, if you kept reading in Matthew 10, a man's foes will be they of his own household. So God, it isn't about humans. It's about when God allows you to get, come to know the Lord as your Savior, God does a wonderful thing and sets you apart in his Son. And to show what? To show that he created you, that he died on the cross for you, and that you're showing what? The grace of God in a world that doesn't want to believe. Jews don't at this point. Gentiles don't at this point. They crucified him. They don't want. We have no king but Caesar. But here we are, believers, whosoever's sinners saved by grace. So here we are in his wonderful body, and the life that we have is his. Now also keep in mind, it isn't about work. I know you're going to make work on my work. It isn't about work. God saves you. He didn't save you to go to work at Pratt & Whitney. He didn't save you to go work at the cement company. He gave you a wonderful life. Period. And you're to live that life. And the work is not the issue. I've got to have work. No, you don't. Don't get me wrong, because if you don't pay your bills, they don't like it. But you understand that. But hey, listen, it isn't about work. People make it work. No, it isn't. Whatever you do, do it what? Turn there for a sec. I didn't want you to go to sleep yet. Over to Colossians. I'm just trying to get you to understand, because people make it about work and home and marriage and kids and pain and headache. That's what we do. And it isn't about that at all. No, God does a wonderful thing. He puts his wonderful person, he puts you in his wonderful, puts himself in you and you in him in a unique relationship. And your body, you're in the same old body. Same old world system, you're in the same world work system, you have all the human relationships, more or less, father, mother, brother, sister, you have them all. But none of that is the issue anymore. You're a new creature. You're brand new. Everything's put aside. You're still in it all, you're still responsible in it all, but you're new. So don't make it, here's Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Keep going, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily with all your heart, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing, verse 24, that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So it isn't about you, Joe. Whatever you do, you can sweep the floor or be CEO of Joe's sweatshop. What difference does it make? as long as you can pay the rent and it works for you. You say, well, I'm only a janitor. It doesn't matter what you are, because you're doing it unto the Lord, and you aren't serving Pratt & Whitney. You aren't serving anybody. You're serving Him. And you're bearing a testimony at work, at home, school, wherever you are. A testimony of what? Of the wonderful relationship you have to Jesus Christ, who rescued you from all of it. He saved you. Otherwise, if He doesn't save you from all of this, then you're stuck. You're not going to go anywhere. So it isn't about work. I got to work. No, you don't. Listen, if I can go work. If you're sweeping the floor and you get enough to pay the rent and you're happy, be happy and sweep. Be a floor sweeper, a happy floor sweeper. And if you want to be a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, then go be a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. And be a happy Indian chief, if you can find it. Well, don't tribe. Forget the tribes. Forget that. Now, you got the idea. Now, so God, here we are. And God, you give us the gift of time. Time to know, a time to grow. Uh-huh. God, you created us for a wonderful purpose. You told us in Ephesians, etc. You told us you had a wonderful plan before we were ever existent. And all we had to do was come to know you as our Savior. That's why we're born physically, to come to know Him in order to enjoy His wonderful plan that He had. And either we choose to have it in the person of Jesus Christ and His saving grace, or we don't. And if we do, that's what God, you're going to outwork that plan in a most wonderful way. So I need to know and grow and show God's creative, redemptive, saving grace. That's what God created me for, created you for in His most wonderful way. So humans, and here we are looking at houses, have houses and everything, houses, cities, pyramids. They all have been, if you could go back and think about it. Here's the civilizations, and all of the civilization, they're all dead, all past dead, physically. The pyramids are left, some of them crumbling up there, and they're all there. And then here's our civilization, here we are living, and the world's being 7 billion plus of us. And if the Lord, in time, we're going to die, apart from the Lord's return. And we're going to die, and the city, the houses you live in, are going to get old and wrinkled, and think that when they go to Wesleyan or something, and they take beautiful buildings, the big Aetna thing they had over here, and went in beautiful cement and millions of dollars, and just knock it all down, nothing to it, disappears. So the cities and everything are possessions. Our possessions, our positions, the places we have, and all that we have, God, it's all here, but it isn't part of anything. And God, you reminded us, to say it simply, 1 Timothy 6:7, it is for we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You came in naked, and you go out naked with nothing. That's how you came in. You brought nothing in, and you're going to take nothing out. So we got to grab it. Your emphasis is on the wrong thing. I'm going to have this, and I'm going to retire with this, and I'm going to be able to retire in my Kmart suit that I spent money for, to be able to go in my Kmart suit and be buried with a flower on my chest. After all my efforts and all my energy, I end up with nothing. Because I made everything. Think of our Lord said it. If you gain, in Luke, if you gain the whole world, what? If you gain the whole world and lose your own heart, what on earth did you ever have? Zero. You brought nothing in, you take nothing out. It's all about a unique relationship to God. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see. You make work and family and children and your needs, and they're all there. No, and they have to be addressed. But it isn't about that. That's what it means to be a new creature. You live in the same old body, but everything from body to family to mother to father, it's all changed. You're freed. To what? If any man love father more than me, he what? He cannot be my disciple. Do you understand? God said, listen, God said, I'm God, if you don't mind. I am all in all. And everything's going to end up that way. I'll say, well, no, it isn't. No, you and I are all going to end up in the ground, maybe. And we're going to find it out. And all the people that shook their fist are going to lose. They're going to lose. But I got to make my way in life. Your children need what? A good testimony to them. Show them. It isn't about coming and going and having. It's about a wonderful relationship to God. And we need to have that relationship. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. May I pick up, please? I wish I could help you more with this. That's where people miss. I'm telling you, most believers that are real believers haven't got it. Their life would be different. Everything's so important to them and critical. And they didn't understand God. The truth will what? Romans 8:32. If you know the truth will set you free. What does free mean? Slave? Freed. Freed. From all the complications. It's a silly illustration. If right now you could use your imagination, you're going to die. Boom. Now, would you tell me how much your rent money that's due is important to you? What about the roast that's cooking in your oven? Is that important? Nothing's important. It was terminated in a moment. One moment, you discovered all that we just went through. But it took your death, physical, to discover it. And what are you going to have if you die, if you're saved? I have gone. He's all in all. It started with God, works with God, and it's going to end with God. No matter how you do it. Matthew chapter 6. And you know it. We did it the other day. God, it's all about a wonderful relationship to you. If I can, in verse 30. The wonderful section, you know, life isn't food, it isn't clothing. That's what it's all about. I'll read verse 25 if it's a little help again. Wherefore I say unto you, take no thought, worry, don't be all anxious for your life, what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and food, and the body more than clothes? That you betcha. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. And we make everything so important. I know we do. Come on, that's how we live. But we don't understand what God. It isn't critical. How can I enjoy being a body in the body? Ephesus, go to church. You're in the body. I'm trying to tell you that 1,000,000,000,000 times. You're in the body. It's just all us. I agree. We aren't exciting. We're just us humans, saved in God's grace. But I'll tell you what, we've got everything going for us in the person of Jesus Christ. Work, home, school, family, friends, sickness, health, wealth. We got it all going for us. Jesus Christ is the boss. We're in his presence. And I don't need anything, and neither do you. We're able to survive and succeed. We don't have to run away. Here's famine like Abraham. Here comes famine, and we got to run to Egypt. No, we don't got to run to Egypt. We don't go to Egypt. We don't have to go anywhere. We need to get down on our heart and knees before God and with thanksgiving, and you and I will survive thick and thin, no matter what, no matter who, no matter when, no matter where. Because it isn't about anything we've made it about. It's about God, and that's what we're sitting here for. That's what local church is supposed to be. That's what the Lord's Day is about. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, therefore, take no thought, anxious, be divided of mind, saying, what shall we eat? You don't have to worry about what we eat, what we drink, whether we shall be called God. I wonder if Kmart will have the sale. You got it? Verse 32. After all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And all these things is what you read in 1 Corinthians 15. In everything, God is. He starts with God, works out with God, ends with God. And it ends up that God's going to be all in all. And in your life, you've discovered that when you got saved. At least you should understand a little. And God gave you eternal life and a unique relationship to God to enjoy God's all in all in a most wonderful way, as God has set you free from the world system that he crucified, that is condemned, and God ended up the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified. Therefore, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God said, listen, I made something awesomely wonderful for you, if you would ever take it. Don't follow the typical church believers. They don't care. But open the book and listen and read and trust him and discover what God, we're in his presence. God, here we are. Wow. Our Father and God, thank you for your grace and kindness, and deal with us as we fumble through it all. It's an awesome thing, and we don't even get it. We're caught up in everything and anything. God, we just miss out. That's why you, Father, you are Father, we need to honor you. How can we honor you except in the Lord Jesus Christ? And in the Lord Jesus Christ, we honor you as sons in the family, in the house, in the body of Christ. We honor you as sons in the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So deal with us, God, Spirit of God, you have to help us in all of this. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.